no matter what it may be. Mark chapter 5, you'd like to stand, please do so. If you don't, that's fine. Mark chapter number 5, again, verse number 1. Very familiar passage of Scripture. We preached on before. If you like, just where we need to go this morning. The Bible said, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had a dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no knot with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said to him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much, that he would not send him away out of the country. And there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, had a legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told him how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to ship that he had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in the Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Lord, we thank you for the reading of thy word. Lord, may you touch for a little while now. God, touch you on this thy servant. God, have us preach unto your anointing power. God, take this precious word. God, apply it to the hearts of each and every one that's in this building today. God, in the way that we might receive it, the way that you want us to receive it. God, that it might be their help and give a touch, God, to each one that needs to be given this morning. God, to be one here today that never been saved, may this be the day they trust in you and the Lord of their life before it's too late. God, touch your own heart, touch your own life. God, do this, we ask. In thy name we pray. Amen and amen. We see here a very familiar passage of Scripture. We preached on, as I said many times before, preached upon this subject about the one that was in the tombs. Amen. The one that was demon-possessed. The Bible said that he was demon-possessed. It had many demons that were living on the inside of him. And we see the actions of what he was going through here in the first few verses. And then I want you to notice, we see in verse number 5, chapter 5, verse number 1 through verse number 5, we see his condition. Amen. That he was going through, his daily routine, and all the pain and the suffering and the agony and the torment and the things that he was suffering day by day. But then I want you to notice something else. We find out in verse number 15. They come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. He had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. So we see a great contrast in between the condition, amen, of this man, amen, in verses 1 through verse 5, and the condition in verse number 15. You say, preacher, what happened? Something major happened in his life, amen, that brought him from where he was to where he was in verse 15. I want to preach upon that thought this morning, amen, what the Gadarene, or what the demonic, found in Jesus. What he found in Jesus. And there is no doubt, amen, that he found something that changed his life. Something that transformed him from a life of misery and pain to a life of joy and peace. I want to maybe share just a few thoughts this morning on what he found, amen, in Jesus. I believe the first thing he found peace instead of turmoil. First of all, we find out, and when he was come out of sheep, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit, who had a dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. We find out in just a few verses here that this man would have had a life of turmoil. There was no peace in his life at this present time. We find out the Bible said he was a demonic. Amen. He was in the tomb. Can I say today that was not a normal place to be? You didn't find a dwelling place in the tomb. But we find out that his life was a life of turmoil. Amen. He had no place to lay his head. He had no place to find peace. He had no place where he could rest. The Bible said always night and day. He was running about in the tomb. Why? Because there was, his life was a life of turmoil. Can I say today, we're living in a world, you look across this community, you look across, amen, this nation, you find out a lot of folks in the same shape that this Gadarene was, have no place to lay their head. And I'm not talking about the homeless. I'm talking about those, amen, that are deep in sin. Those, amen, that are being controlled by the devil, maybe even demons, I don't know. Amen, that their life is full of turmoil. I have no place of rest. I have no place to be able to find peace of mind and peace of heart. Always, day by day, night and day, their life is just a mess. You say, preacher, what happened? Can I say today, sin will put you in that kind of shape. The devil will put you in a place, he'll paint a pretty picture for you and make you to think everything's going to be all right if you'll take this path. You'll find out that the path that you took, amen, led by the devil is a place of turmoil, a place of sorrow, a place of heartaches. That's where this man was. I want you to find out. Then we look over in verse 15. Amen. We find out the Bible said, they that came to you saw him was it, that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting. Amen. Can I tell you today, you find somebody, you heard me make the statement before, hey, when you find somebody running around, hey, when doing this, you'll find somebody that has no peace. But you find somebody, hey, man, a lot of times sitting down, hey, man, they found something they've been looking for. Here a man was running around throughout the tombs, day and night always. Oh, but in verse 15, we find out, hey, they found him as sitting. He wasn't running around no more. He wasn't in turmoil no more. But thank God he found peace. I'm glad, thank God, when peace comes to your heart, you can sit down and rest a little while. You can sit down the fact of knowing that what you was had been changed. Something drastic has happened in your life. And there's something that has happened is Jesus. Amen. Something happened. Preacher, what was it? Thank God what he found in Jesus. Thank God he found peace instead of turmoil. And I say today, if you're, hey man, listen, sound my voice today. Your life may be a life of turmoil, life of chaos, a life of just don't know what's going on. Can I tell you today, why don't you look to Jesus? Oh, look to Jesus, the one, hey man, that can take the turmoil out of your life and give you a peace that passes all understanding. Not only we find this Gadarene, this demonic found peace instead of turmoil in verse 2. But look at verse number 5. The Bible said, because, and always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. We see that the life he was living not only was a life of turmoil, but it was a life of pain and agony. The Bible said he was running around always day and night cutting himself with stones. You say, preacher, why did he do that? He was cutting himself with stones. Amen. Trying. Amen. He was always in pain, trying to find a sense of pleasure, trying to find a sense of fulfillment. And amen, the only way he could do it by cutting himself with a stone to try to find that he wasn't there. The Bible said always cutting himself with stones. Living in the world today and may not agree with what I'm fixing to say, but I believe you can back it up in Scripture. We're living in a world today where a lot of folks are finding pleasure in just literally cutting themselves, deforming their bodies. You say, preacher, now let me just say this right now. This old preacher, boy, I'm allergic to pain. I don't like pain.
And anything that caused me pain ain't normal. Can I say anything that causes pain in their life is not normal? It's Scripture. Can I say today we're living in a world, hey man, people are finding pleasure and fulfillment in pain. And can I tell you, hey man, something is out of kilter with that picture. Something's wrong.
Preacher, what is it? I believe it's the devil. I believe the devil's trying to lead people to find pleasure in things that ain't normal. Trying to find pleasure in things that God didn't intend for you to find pleasure in. Can I tell you today, you say, preacher, what is it? It's pain. Oh, but I'm so glad the Bible said, hey, man, that this man was sitting and clothed and in his own right mind. What did he find, preacher? He found comfort instead of pain. Always, night and day, he was in the mountain tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But in verse 15, he was sitting and clothed. The Bible said also that he was naked, running around naked. Amen. But we find out in verse 15, he was clothed. What happened? Jesus happened to him. And I tell you today, we're living in a world today, amen, that parades herself in the nudity, the nakedness of this world. Even their society is portraying the nudity, the nakedness, amen, in a vast way. But can I say today, I believe the first thing you'll have when somebody gets born again by the grace of God, amen, they'll be clothed in their right mind. Something will take a change in their life. Not only do we see that he was found peace instead of turmoil, found comfort instead of pain, but then we find out something else. Bible said, because he had been off a man, no man could tame him. And again, always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs. Here was a man that had no hope whatsoever. Here was a man that I believe day by day, there was nothing but discouragement in his life every day. I believe he maybe woke up the next every day, thinking, well, maybe I can get out of this shape. Maybe I can get out of this condition. Oh, but every day you find the same old routine, find the same old troubles and trials, find the same old things. He had no hope whatsoever. All he found was discouragement day by day. We live in a time where folks trying so hard to get out of the routine, the rut of the evilness and wickedness that they may have found themselves in because of sin. And on, they keep looking for that hope, but instead they find discouragement every day. Oh, people with addiction. Hey, man, I'm going to quit it. I'm not going to do the drugs anymore. I'm not going to do the alcohol no more. I'm not going to do those things that bring me discouragement. I'm turning over a new leaf. Hey, man, but yeah, what they find themselves getting right back into it and find discouragement on top of discouragement. Preacher, what happened to this man to get him out of that place of discouragement? To a place where he had some hope. To a place in verse 15 where he was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And I tell you today, hey man, when we do the things that bring harm to our body, we're not in the right mind. When we do things, take that alcohol, Brother Wendell can tell you, I've been there. Hey man, when Wendell used to take that alcohol and continually drink that alcohol, he wasn't in his right mind. Hey man, that alcohol took a possession of his mind. Hey man, he wasn't who everybody knew him to be. Why? Because it took possession of him. Just like drug use. Just like the other things that come with addictions. Hey man, they're discouragement. Oh, can I tell you today, but I'm glad, thank God, that there's hope. But something happened to Wendell, amen, when he found Jesus. Thank God, that discouragement that he found in alcohol, amen, that continual cycle, amen, of drunkenness, getting better, I'm not going to do that again. Next night, drink again, well, I'm not going to do that again. All the time, discouragement, day by day, thank God, ended when he found Jesus. I'm glad that discouragement that this demonic was in day by day, thank God, waking up and every day, hoping that it might be different, but finding out that it wasn't, but when he found Jesus, thank God he found a hope
that he didn't have, and he wasn't the same anymore. I'm talking about what the demonic found in Jesus. I can tell you today, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're going through. Oh, you may be. Say, preacher, I ain't bad as that demonic. You ain't got to be as bad as he. But amen. Just have the same discouragement, the same pain, the same turmoil in your life that he had. Can I tell you, you can have that coming to church, sitting on the church pew every morning, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. You can have that same turmoil in your life. You can have that same discouragement in your life. Hey, man, you say, preacher, how can I get out of it? Honey, look to Jesus. I turn it over to him. I give it to him. Let him change you. But there's another thing that he found. He found freedom. Dead of bondage. And I tell you, we find out that he was under the bondage of those demons. Hey, man, couldn't do what he wanted to do, but done what he was led to do by those, that demonic force that he was under. Can I tell you today, hey, man, when we, hey, man, give ourselves to sin and we're walking in sin and allow ourselves to be used by the devil. Hey, man, we try, as I've already said, try to do better, but it seems like there's something on the inside that's driving us to do ordinarily what we don't want to do. Paul put it this way. He said, when I do good, evil is always present with me. But he said, that I would, I do not. Why? Because it's sin that dwells in me. In other words, Paul was telling them over the book of Romans chapter 7. He said, as an individual, before I become a child of God, I wanted to do good. I wanted to walk right. I wanted to do the same. But yet there was something on the inside that drove me to do the thing that I didn't want to do. And then he said, it's sin. And I tell you, it's sin, hey man, that drives you to do the things that you don't want to do. And I say, it's not natural for a dad or a mama to abuse a little child. It's not natural for a husband to come in and slap his wife around in a drunken state. It's not natural for a wife or a mama, amen, to abandon her kids, or a dad to abandon their kids. Amen, it's not natural. Amen, deep down it said, oh, I didn't intend to do that. It's not natural. What is it, preacher? It's sin. It's sin, amen, that, amen, drives you to do things that ordinarily you wouldn't do. That's where this man was. Oh, but I'm so glad. Thank God. Let's find out in verse 15. Amen, he was in bondage to sin. Thank God he got set free by the power of God. Oh, amen. What in bondage, can I tell you today, before I become a child of God, you and I, those who have been saved by the grace of God, we were in bondage to sin. Hey, man, to obey sin, nothing we could do to keep from obeying sin. But thank God, when I got saved by the grace of God, hey, man, got born again through the power of salvation, thank God I was set free from the power and penalty of sin. See, something on the inside that's greater than the devil. It's called the Holy Ghost of God, Jesus, living on the inside. Can I tell you today, he found freedom instead of bondage. But not only did he find freedom instead of bondage, but he found joy instead of sorrow. The Bible said here was a man that was always night and day in the tombs, cutting himself, running about in sorrow and pain. Oh, but we find verse 15, sitting and clothed in his right mind. We found joy. Here a man that knew sorrow in a great way. Verse 15, he was a man that found joy, something he'd been looking for. Can I tell you today, one thing that I hear so much is a preacher, I just want to have joy in my life. Preacher, I just want to have that sense of joy. It seems like everything that's in my life is sorrow and heartache. Preacher, I just want that joy. The Bible said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. No, we're simply saying, if you want that joy that you're looking for, just follow Jesus. Just follow his word. Follow his way of salvation, his way, hey man, to get you from sorrow to that place of joy, that joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Bible said, these things write unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. He's talking about his way of salvation. He's talking about his way of walking, his way of conduct. I'm talking about what you can find, what this demonic found in Jesus that wasn't in the tombs. You'll not find it in the tombs. You'll not find it in in this old world, but you'll find it at the feet of Jesus. Not only that, but he found life instead of death. Here was a man that he was doomed for death. Amen, but instead he found life. He found something that he never thought he would ever find. He found it in Jesus. Brother Perry, I'm glad, thank God, that I found something when I accepted Jesus as the Lord of my life that I never thought I'd find. It was a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of power. Amen, a life that I never thought. The Bible said, but the wages of sin and death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He found life instead of death. But not only that, but he found victory instead of defeat. You see, here's a man that was living a defeated life. We're living in a time where folks are living a defeated life. The devil, can I just say this? Give you a news flash. The devil ain't your friend. All the devil's out to do is destroy you, defeat you. Amen. Do everything he can to keep you from being happy and joy in finding joy in life. The life that you're looking for is in Jesus. There's victory in Jesus. There's victory in walking with the Lord. There's victory, amen, in a relationship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Me and Teresa was going. I was running around yesterday with little Ethan, and I was sitting back there in the back seat with him. And he had a little guitar. Here, Papa, play. He said, sing. We got to sing Victory in Jesus. Boy, they just sang right along with me. And boy, I'd quiet. I'd get quiet, and I'd hear him. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior ever. He's even a little child can learn the fact of knowing there's victory in Jesus. Thank God. Amen. Victory. Overwhelm. Defeat. Amen. Instead of defeat, you find victory. Now, I like to watch ball games. That ain't no secret. Amen. Justin, it seems like when boy, defeat is sure, something happens, and there's victory. Some major play transpires. Instead of being defeated, you find victory. Oh, that's the way it is with salvation. Paul seemed like when, boy, there is no victory. Seemed like defeat is sure. Seemed like there's no way out. Something happens. Thank God. You say, preacher, what is that? Yeah. Jesus comes about. Yep. Amen. He was a man that was, hey man, didn't see victory. All the world was defeated, but all of a sudden, thank God he found victory in the midst of defeat. Brother Chris can tell you, testify. All right, when the time of his life when he was defeated in such a mighty way, something happened. He found victory. What happened? He got saved. Amen. Got birthed in the family of God. He found victory instead of defeat. But then one last thing I believe you found. Preacher, what was that? I believe you found heaven instead of hell. When it come his time to die, I believe he woke up in heaven. Why? Because he found Jesus. But had he died there in that tomb, had he died there in that graveyard, hell would have been his eternal resting place. But something happened. Thank God, between verse 1 and 5 and verse 15, he found Jesus. Thank God Jesus came right where he was. And thank God Jesus took care of it, delivered him from the demons, having chained him, having made him a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Bible said he found him seated and clothed and in his right mind. You see, that's what will happen when you find Jesus. You'll find that peace instead of turmoil. You'll find that comfort instead of pain. You'll find that victory instead of defeat. You can have the privilege and power of knowing that one day that you know heaven will be your home instead of hell. Can I say there is a literal heaven and there is a literal hell? A lot of folks won't talk about heaven, but don't want to talk about hell. Can I tell you there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? Preacher, how can I do it? By looking to Jesus. And I say, if you're here today, you've been saved by the grace of God. Preacher, I know that I've been saved by the grace of God, but my life is a life of turmoil right now. I've allowed sin to come into my life. Because of that, my life is a mess. It's a time of turmoil, heartache. Preacher, what can I do? Come to Jesus. Maybe you're here today, you've been saved. Maybe it's not through a sin that you've done. Maybe through circumstances that you're going through. Preacher, seem like I'm just defeated. I need to realize that victory that I have. Come to Jesus. Amen. Let him, amen, just reassure you of that victory that's in him today. There is victory in Jesus. There's defeat in this world, but there's victory in Jesus. There's sorrow in the troubles and trials of this world, but there's victory in Jesus. Can I say today, what can I find? In Jesus, you can find that peace. You can find that joy. You can find that sense of fulfillment. You can find that hope. You can find that life that you've been looking for. You can find that assurance of knowing that when death comes your way, heaven will be your home. And can I say this in closing? I've used this many times in many funerals. The best gift that you can ever give your family when it comes your time to die, it's not a big bank account. It's not a house that your kids can inherit. It's not some wealthy money that you've laid back for your children, for your love. That's not it. The greatest gift that you could ever give your family when it comes your time to go is assurance of knowing that you're in heaven where there is no pain, there is no sorrow. There is no heartache. The assurance of knowing if they've been born again by the grace of God, then you'll get to see them again. But then I've done many funerals. Amen. Those family members have left that family member with assurance of knowing. Then I have done some that wasn't the case. And it's tough on the family. It's tough on those around when they don't know where that loved one is. They don't know if they'll ever get to see that loved one again. But can I say today, you can find hope. You can have assurance. The greatest gift that you could ever give yourself, not just your family, but yourself, is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through salvation. What about it? Do you know Jesus? Have you been born again by the grace of God? What about it, child of God? Where are you at in your relationship with God? Where are you at in life as a whole? Are you living in defeat? Can I say if you're a child of God, God don't intend us to live in defeat, but he wants us to live in victory. That victory is in Jesus. Every head bowed, that's the message. Father, you touch them on hearts, touch them on lives. God, let the power of your spirit, God, move in a mighty way. God, I pray, may you take the word of God. Lord, that has been spoken, Father, apply to the hearts of those of us that are here tonight. God, I pray, Father, for God, though that one, and maybe those ones, Lord, I don't know the heart of anyone in this building. God, only you do. Lord, may you touch that heart that has a need in their life. God, that one that may have never been saved by your wonderful grace. That one that their life may be a turmoil. Their life may be a mess. God, even I may be talking about someone in this room that's been saved, but yet their life is a turmoil. Their life is a mess also. God, let this be the day, God, they come to you. God, may this be the day they make that decision, this gathering of this demonic maid. God, allowing you to do something in their life that, Lord, they can't do for themselves. God, may they find in you what this demonic found. May they find that peace, that joy, that life, that hope. Lord, that assurance that heaven will be our home one day through your relationship with you through salvation. God, touch you, do what needs to be done. This we ask in thy name. Amen and amen. As we stand, as we sing.